Tonight's shiur for the week of Parshat Tzav, Shabbos HaGadol. We begin with a maisa, which actually occurred around Shavuos time. There was a kindergarten teacher, Ganenet, that she had her own like private kindergarten. And it was around Shavuos time, one of the mothers, Kar Satov, for all her hard work, she purchased two very nice cheesecakes and put them on like a little platter and covered it very nicely with colored wrapping and presented it to the teacher. The teacher thanked her so much. Anyways, the teacher brought home the cheesecakes. And since they're sensitive things, she placed them in her fridge. As it happens, nobody was really interested in eating this. Perhaps they were lactose intolerant. And the two cheesecakes remained in the fridge for quite some time. Eventually, the teacher saw that the cakes were going off already. So she just took the whole platter and just dumped it in the garbage. Anyway, sometime later, the teacher contacted the mother who had given her these cakes originally and said, by the way, you know, you owe me 700 shekels for your children being by me. So the mother said, what are you talking about? I paid you the 700 shekel. She says, what? I didn't receive any money from you. She says, of course. I put the money in an envelope and placed it in between the two cheesecakes that I gave you. So I figured, of course, you know, you open up the cover with the plastic cover and you'll see the money next to the cheesecakes. What, you didn't get the money? You didn't see it? So the teacher replied, listen, to be honest with you, we're not into cheesecakes so much in my house. And they were just sitting in their fridge. Eventually, I just dumped them. And I never even opened it up. So I didn't see the money you gave me. Huh. So the mother said, so what do you want from me? I gave you the money, and you, with your own hands, threw it into the garbage. So it's not my fault. The teacher said, what do you mean it's not your fault? I mean, you could have said something. How was I supposed to know that there was money between these cheesecakes? So the question is, who is right? The answer is that the mother who paid the money did not do a very smart thing, to say the least. That's not how you pay back money without telling a person and then sticking in between the two cheesecakes. And so that's as far as the mother goes. And as far as the Ganenet goes, the teacher, well, she didn't do anything strange, wrong. How she had no reason to believe there'd be money in between the cheesecakes, and it's a normal thing that sometimes you put something in the fridge, you don't eat it for a while, it goes off, you just take it and you dump it. She didn't do anything wrong. In fact, there's a Gemara in Baba Kama Nach Samach Beis that says that if there's a box that contains jewels, and it's not normal for jewels to be in a box like this, somebody comes and throws it into the sea, so he's pater. From the Jew doesn't have to pay for the jewels. Why? Because he can tie in, and rightly so. How was I supposed to know there are jewels in a box like this? That's not where people normally keep their jewels. So to hear the teacher can tie in, how was I supposed to know there's going to be money in between these cakes? And she's right. So therefore, the final psak was that the mother has to pay the 700 shekels once again, since it was her fault for putting the money where she had placed it without telling the teacher. Next, it's a little cute maisa with the Panovich Rav. He once attended a wedding, chasen of one of his talmidim. So he walks into the door and he sees a smartly dressed bacher, and he assumed that this was the chasen. So he hugs him, and he kisses him, and he gives him nice brachas. However, he shortly realized that, oops, this wasn't the chassan. And he was worried that the chassan was looking at this and thinking to himself, what, the Rav doesn't recognize me? He doesn't know who I am? And he figured he might be hurt. So what did he do? He went up to the next bachur who was next to him and hugged and kissed him and gave him brachas. And then to the next bracha and hugged and kissed him and gave him brachas. And so on and so forth, every bachur that came in his path until he actually reached the chassan. Thereby, the chassan would think that, oh, I guess this is what the Panavrit Rav does to every bachur a chassan is. And therefore, he wouldn't think that he didn't recognize him. Next, we have a shaila of a yid who had a couple of cars. One car he kept for his own private use, and the other one he decided to make like a little rental car, his own private little rental car. And somebody comes, needs like a gemach for cars, comes, needs his car, so he rents it to him for a fee that's less than your average rental car. And here, this way, he makes a few bucks, and people are happy to, you know, pay a little bit less. Fine, this is going on for a little while, till somebody approached him and said, listen, I don't know what you're doing is such a good idea. He says, why? He says, well, I don't know if you realize this, but the insurance company, they're not going to insure your car if you're renting it out. They'll insure a car if you use it, or if you lend it out for free. Anybody uses a car for free, it's like your car, and you can, you know, let other people drive it. But as soon as you charge money for your car, that's not included in the policy. And if chas v'shalom somebody, you know, rents it from you, gets into an accident, if you're going to make a claim and have the insurance pay for it, so that's gezel. Because they are not meant to pay for damages done by a car that was paid for, that was rented. Well, the owner of the car heard, and he was took it to heart. So he had an idea. What did he do? He changed his advertisement. He didn't say, I'm renting my car. Rather, I have a gemach of car lending. I lend my car. I don't rent it, I lend it. However, he, of course, made it known to the person that if the person who's borrowing a quote-unquote his car, you know, when he returns it, he should be nice enough to pay him for it. But officially, it's a car lending service, not rental. It's for free, but if you pay, it would be very nice. And, however, he didn't just leave it at that. If somebody didn't pay him, he would make it a very strong hint that don't think he would ever lend his car, quote unquote, again to this person who didn't pay. Anyways, that's how he thought to get around the problem with the insurance company. Question is that okay thing to do? The answer is given. Was no. Because that's called, we call it a pshetlach. You can't make pshetlach with insurance policy. Am I so fine? You ask the insurance company, can you do such a thing? And they give you the A-OK. Fine, go ahead. But you can't do this without asking the company, because it's just another way of renting your car without actually coming out and saying it. And therefore, it's such a thing as would not be allowed unless he gets the full agreement of the insurance company. Moving right along. Speaking of cars, Reuven, he worked as an agent for a company that supplied merchandise to various stores. And he would go from store to store, get orders, etc. During one of his trips with the company car, he looked at his watch, and he was running a bit late, and was almost shkia. So he pulled over to the side, David Mincha, and got back into his car, and drove off. But he forgot at that point to put on a seatbelt. Well, not more than a few seconds passed, and a police car drove by, saw him without his seatbelt, pulled him over, and began to write him a nice fat ticket for driving without a seatbelt, which are very serious offense these days, which includes a number of points on his license. Well, Reuven was not a happy camper. So he begged the policeman. He says, please, please, listen, I'm a man with a big family, and I barely make ends meet. Please, I can't afford a big ticket like this. So he said to the policeman, maybe do me a big favor. Why don't you just, check out things, look at my car, whatever. Maybe find another thing you can give me a ticket for that's not going to be such a big ticket and without points or whatever. Anyways, the officer had rachmanis on Reuven. He says, Seder, okay. And he started checking out the car here or there. And sure enough, he noticed that one of the lights in the back was not working. One of the back lights. So he says, okay, fine. I'll give you a ticket for the having one of your back lights are not working. Which Reuven had no idea about, by the way. He didn't know it wasn't working. And fine, I gave him a small ticket, and that was the end of that. So what's the Shaila? Shaila is that Reuven had an agreement with his company. So as we said, it was a company car. And the agreement was that any knas, any fine that would go onto the car, which was a result of the malfunction of the car itself, like broken lights, things like that, there was anything, a problem with the car, so that the company would pay. However, anything that was the fault of the driver, like speeding or not wearing your seatbelt or things like that, so that would that the driver has to pay. That was the agreement. So now we have an interesting Shaila. The policeman pulled him over for what? For not wearing a seatbelt. He would have just given him that ticket, and that's that. But because he pleaded with him, he looked around, he found this broken light. Now the broken light, well, normally that's a responsibility of the company, of Reuven's company, to pay for. However, the cop probably would have even noticed it, and he just would have just given him a ticket for the seatbelt. It's only because Reuven pleaded with him that he started looking around, snooping around, until he found this problem. So the question is, Reuven asked, is he allowed to have the company, his company, pay for the broken light or not? The Shaila was brought to Rav Nissim Karelitz Shlita, and he claimed that in fact Reuven has to pay for the light, because in the end the policeman stopped him for what he had done, and it was his fault, and he would have never, as we said, found this broken light. It wasn't because of what Reuven did, he himself did, by driving without the seatbelt, and therefore he is responsible in the end for the ticket. Next, we have an interesting story which occurred in America. There's once a Yid, Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, and one clear morning he was taking a subway. So he's waiting or walking or running, I don't know, towards train tracks, and he accidentally slipped and he fell into the tracks, the subway tracks, which is a very dangerous thing, to say the least, because any minute a train was about to come. And Reuven, we'll call him Reuven, the Yid, he was hurt. He hurt, so he couldn't just, jump out or whatever. He couldn't move. His legs were, he hurt his legs, whatever, and he was stuck. He couldn't move. And a train was about to come, and the place was in hysteria. People were going crazy. So there was a train that was stopped there, it was ready to go soon. And in the meantime, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this big black man jumps out, goes towards the tracks where this Reuven was stuck. He jumps in, grabs Reuven, throws him out of the tracks. He himself jumps out just before the train came. Mamish saved his life. Pshuto kamishmo. Everybody like, wow, it's unbelievable. And they were looking for this this black man, like, where is he? And they noticed he was back in the train where he was originally, you know, was waiting for his train to go. He was back in his seat with his legs crossed, just like staring out the window as if nothing had happened. People couldn't believe it. So somebody ran up to him and he says, you know what you just did? You're the hero of the day. You saved this person's life. The train was about to come and run him down, and you saved him. You saved this guy's life. You're a hero. So the black man says, what hero? What are you talking about, hero? He says, let me tell you the real story. He says, listen. He says, I work downtown in a restaurant, and I get paid $10 an hour. What do? I wash dishes. And I have to be at work at 8 o'clock because there was a big fair there last night and there's a lot of dishes to be washed. Like I said, I get $10 an hour. And I heard there was a commotion going on. I said, what's going on? Somebody said, somebody fell into the tracks. So I thought to myself, oh, that's all I need. Imagine the guy gets run over. Oh, it's going to be a whole big problem here. The train's going to be stopped. I'm going to be waiting here 5 hours probably. Can you imagine 5 hours? That's $50 of my salary. I forget it. So that's why I jumped up and threw the guy out of the track so that I can get to work already. And, listen, money's money. It's my salary. So what's the question here? Well, the Yid, Reuven, who was saved, he said that when he felt somebody, grab him and was about like throwing, taking him out of the tracks, he had decided that whoever this guy is, he didn't know who he was, whoever he is, he wants to repay him generously for what he, saving his life. Well, the question he had asked is, should he have to pay this goy for saving him? Why not? First of all, he's a goy. Second of all, does he owe him really a hakara satov? The goy didn't save him because he wanted to save this guy's life. He saved him so he can get his $50 salary. He did it for himself just to want to get to work on time. So is that reason to show him a hakara satov? That was the shaila that was asked. What's the answer? Well, first of all, as far as showing hakara satov to a goy, there's a Gilyon Marsha in Yoredeya Reish Siman Kuf Nun Tes, the Shem of the Radak, and he says, quote, "Bevadai imoseh hagoy chesed v'tova im Yisrael, chayav lasot Yisrael gam kem imo chesed v'lehtiv lo." That if a goy does a chesed or something good to a yid, he's chayav, the Jew is chayav to return and do a chesed back to him. Okay, so that's as far as that goes. However, as we said, this isn't so simple, because the goy had no intent whatsoever to do a real, to save the yid, do something good for him. He was doing good for himself, so he can get to work on time. Does the yid still owe him a kara satov? So, answer is, based on a chazal, with Moshe Rabbeinu. After he killed the Mitzri in Mitzrayim, and the word got out, and he had to run away, he was a fugitive, and he ran away from Mitzrayim, and he got to Midian. Who did he bump into Midian? Who did he bump into over there? Yisro's daughters. They were by the well, and they were in trouble from some shepherds. So Moshe Rabbeinu saved them. And when they got home, they said to their father, and each Mitzri Hitzilanu Miyad Aroi Megam Dolo Dolo Lanu. Says a Egyptian man saved us from the shepherds, and he also literally Dalo Dala means he drew, like you draw water, Lanu. So what does it mean, lanu? So says the Midrash that it's coming to teach us that Moshe Rabbeinu literally drew them up, these girls, because the shepherds, the wicked shepherds, had thrown these girls into the water, and Moshe took them out. He drew them out of the water. But the Midrash asks, why did they call Moshe an Ish Mitzri? He was a Yehudi. The Midrash answers with a mashal, that there was once an arod, or a certain creature, that if one gets bitten by this, it's sakanas nefashas. However, the Gemara says that the antidote for being bitten by an arod is to run to water. It actually says, whatever comes to water first, if the arod comes to water first, then the person dies. The person gets to some water first, then he'll survive. Anyways, so the mashal is, there was once an arod that bit a person, so he quickly ran to some water, and he got to this river, and all of a sudden he hears a screaming. He looks up and he sees a kid drowning, so he jumps in, grabs the kid and saves his life. So the kid said, "Well, if it wasn't for you, I'd be dead." So the man answered, "I didn't save you. It was this arod that bit me, and I had to run because of that to this water, to this river. He saved you. If it wasn't for the arod, I wouldn't have bitten. I wouldn't have come to the river. It's all because of him. You have to thank the animal, not me." So too, when it came to the daughters of Yisro, they said to Moshe, "Oh, thank you so much. You saved us from these shepherds." Moshe Rabbeinu says, "I saved you from these shepherds? It wasn't really me. It was this Egyptian man that I killed. It was all because I killed this Egyptian man that word got out, etc. And I had to run away, and I came here and I saw you. Had I not killed that Egyptian, I wouldn't have been here and I wouldn't be able to save you. So it wasn't me that saved you. It was this Egyptian man." Mele, that's they say. That's the pshat in the pasuk. That's what they call Moshe. Weren't calling Moshe Ish Mitzri Tzilanu, that this Egyptian man Moshe saved us from the shepherds, but rather the Egyptian man that Moshe had killed saved us from the shepherds, all because of him. So says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz Zatzal in Sichas Musar Chelik Beit Maimer Lamed Beis. He says we see from here how far Hakaras Hatov goes. That here this child that was drowning, who does he owe Hakaras Hatov to? Okay, certainly to the man that saved them, but he owes Hakaras Hatov even to this arod, this animal that bit the man that ran to the river to save him. See how far it goes. Mele also so too with the daughters of Yisro. Right? Who did Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, who do you have to thank? You have to thank, not only me, you have to thank the guy I killed. Because had I not killed him, I wouldn't have been here. So, says Rav Chaim, quote, he says, "Ki hanene mekabel tova mechaveiro." Somebody who gets pleasure and receives a good from his friend, hafilu lo nitkaven hala klala tovato. Even the person that did the good to you had no intent whatsoever to do good for you, to help you. Even, but still, indirectly, somehow you got a good from that person. Harei zechayev lakir tova lemishi siviv garam lo tovata. You're chayev to show him a kar satov, that because of him, in the end, some good came to you. Therefore, back to our question, definitely this Yid Reuven that was saved by this Goy owes an Hakaras Hatov to the Goy, even though he had no intent whatsoever in saving him for the good necessarily of Reuven, but for his own good. But it doesn't matter, as we saw, even if some indirect good comes because of a person, you owe him a Hakaras Hatov. Surely, in this case, which was a direct saving, question is, how much does he have to pay him? So the answer is that we have to estimate how much in that area where people live in there, what would your average person say is such a thing is worth, to be saved by a person like that? How much, and that's not how he should pay. He shouldn't pay more than that. Because there's a shayla of losachanim that you can't give a goy a matnas chinam, staman, a gift for nothing. You can give a goy a gift, zakar satov, to thank him for what he deserves, 100%, but not more. So, therefore, what's the quote-unquote going rate for somebody, you know, who saves somebody else? That's what you can and should, this Yid Reuven should give this goy that amount, but not too much more. Finally, an interesting shaila. There was a chassan that he bought for his kala a fancy set of leather machzors. And he wanted to make it extra special, so before giving his kala this set of machzorim, he decided that he was going to have the kala's name inscribed in the leather, printed in the leather. So he went to such a person who does those things, and fine, no problem. He said, do it happily. He says, so what's your kala's name? So he says, Henya. Fine. Okay. So he says, come back in a couple of days, should be ready. Hassan returns. The person presents him with the machzorim. He says, no, how do you like it? And the Hassan almost faints on the spot. He says, what's wrong? He says, what did you do? I told you my kala's name is Henya. You wrote Sonia. What am I going to do with Machzorim that says Sonia on it? I can't give her these Machzorim. So I says, oh boy, I'm so sorry. I did. You're right. You know, I got mixed up. You're right. You said Henya and I wrote Sonia. He says, you know, I really apologize. And you know what? I'm sorry. I'm not going to charge you for the work. So the chassan says, you're not going to charge you for the word. Of course you're not going to charge you for the word. But you have to pay me for new machzorim. What are you going to do with these machzorim? I can't use them and I can't give them to my kala. What am I going to do with these machzorim? Because of you, you ruined these machzorim. You have to buy me into new leather machzorim. So the man in the store said, I'm not sure about that. I think we should ask a shaila. So before that, the man who was, inscribed them, said to the chassan, but wait a second, I have a question. He says, yeah, what? He says, what nusach do you daven? So he says, what does this have to do with anything? I daven Ashkenaz, what? And your kala? I said, also Ashkenazi, you daven Ashkenaz. Well, I don't understand. Well, what does it have to do with anything? Ah, said the man, I'll tell you, it has a lot to do with it. He says, what? He says, see these machzorim that you gave me? He says, yeah. Open up the front cover. He says, okay. He says, what does it say over there? It says, Nusach Eidot HaMizrach, Sfardi. He says, you made a mistake. You bought the wrong machzorim. You bought a machzor that's for Sfardi. So I didn't cause you a loss. He said, you couldn't anyways give these machzorim to your kala. Right? You're going to give your kala, Ashkenazi kala, machzorim for Sfardi? So, in the end, I didn't cause you a loss, so why should I pay for your machzorim? So the chassan said, wow, what was that? That's nothing to do with it. It was your business. Okay, you're right. I brought the wrong machzorim, but that's not the point. I hired you to write Henya, you wrote Sonia, and you ruined the machzorim. It was none of your business what nusach my kala dovens. So, question is, who is right? The answer is the Gemara in Baba Metzia. Says, speaks over there of a person who received a field from his friend, b'chakirut. What's chakirut? That means a person is given a field to work by the bala sada, the owner of the field, and the agreement is that he works the field and then he has to give him a certain amount of produce that he produces per year, let's say 100 bushels or whatever. So he has to give him, they set a certain amount, he has to pay him 100 bushels. What happens if something happens to the field? There's a maka, there's a locust or whatever come and they eat the field. So now, what, does he still have to pay him the 100 bushels? So the Gemara says, well, it depends. It says, if it's a Makas Medina, meaning all the fields in the whole area there got attacked by these locusts, so then the person that's, you know, renting this field, so to speak, he can't expect him to pay the 100 bushels. Not his fault. It was all the fields got hit, and therefore you have to discount him. He doesn't have to pay the full 100 bushels. However, if all the fields were fine, only that field, Dafka, that field that he was working got hit, so then the owner of the field could say, listen, mazal chagaram, it was your bad muzzle that caused it. Because none of the other fields in the area got hit. So it's your bad muzzle, and therefore, tough luck. As they say, you have to pay me the full 100 bushels. Now, the Gemara says, also over there, the next stuff, in Kufav, it said, what would be with the following case? Let's say the owner of the field said, here, you want my field, and plant it, and harvest it, and you have to give me, let's say, we can say 100 bushels. Fine. So, you have to plant wheat. I definitely want wheat planted in my field. Because fine. So the person takes the field. What does he do? He plants barley. Didn't listen to the balabais. And he planted barley. And then what happened? Then came a Makas Medina. And all the fields in the area got attacked by, let's say, locusts or whatever. So now what? What are the two sides over here? The person who's on the field, he says, look, you're right. I planted the wrong thing. You told me wheat. I planted barley. But what's the difference? Because anyways, all the fields got knocked out. So it doesn't make a difference anyways. I did the wrong thing. And all the fields anyways, a Makas Medina. So you have to discount me the from paying the 100 bushels. However, perhaps the Bala Sadeh, the owner of the field, can say no. He says, why? He says, listen. You know, I said you have to plant wheat. So you know what? I was davening that everything should go well and that this wheat field, that my wheat field should be successful and should grow. And I was davening for that. I didn't know you're going to plant some barley. If you would have planted wheat, perhaps it would have been saved because of my tefillahs. But in the end, I was davening my wheat field. Wheat was the barley field. I didn't know you planted barley. You didn't listen to me. So because of you, the locusts came and destroyed my field as well. My field would have been saved. Would have been the only field saved because I davened for it. But I davened for the wrong thing because of you. So, who's right? The Gemara answers, actually, that the owner of the field is right. He has a taina. He could say, listen, I was davening for a wheat field, and because of you, the field was not saved. So what do we see, though, from this Gemara? If it wasn't for this taina of the Bala Sareh, then, in fact, the person who was working the field would have been right. He had a right taina. He said, look, what's the difference if I planted the wrong thing? If anything, anyways, all the fields got messed up in the area. It's only because the Bala Sareh had this taina about davening that he's right. But it wasn't for that. In fact, the person working the field would have a taina. He says, look, okay, you're right. I did the wrong thing and I planted the wrong thing. But it doesn't matter because everything was anyways eaten by locusts. What's the difference? And that is a taina. Memela, we could learn from that Gemara, extrapolate to our case over here, that what the man in the store said was correct. He could say, look, I didn't damage you, because anyways you weren't going to give this, you blew it by giving these, by the you bought the wrong machzorim. If I would have put the right name on it, anyways you wouldn't have been able to give it to your kala. You write your kala's name and give the Sephardi machzorim. You would have anyway not be able to use them. So Mele, I didn't cause you a loss. So, in fact, that's the final psak. That the man in the store who engraved the incorrect name is Pater from paying the chassan a new set of machzorim. Shall be zoiche to have a good din in the eyes of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And as we post Pesach, we shall be zoiche kimeitz ischem, meretz mitzrayim, arenu niflos, mevias kol tzedek, yimhei riyameinu.